We are so glad you're joining us for Table Talk, where we dive a little deeper into Sunday's message. At Northridge, we exist to help people move closer to Christ. We believe that following Jesus is a journey, and we want to help you through that journey any way we can. And now, join two of our pastors for today's Table Talk. Hey guys, welcome to today's Table Talk. I'm Kristen, and joining me today is Jonathan DeJesus, our college pastor.
Hello.
We are going to jump into a little bit of your message from this past Sunday. Jonathan, your message was called Living in the Here and Now, mm-hmm. and you taught out of Romans 13, verse 11 through 14.
Correct.
And you really dove into what it looks like to live a life that has been truly transformed mm-hmm. by Christ. So I was curious, as you were getting ready to give this message, what sort of resources did you use in preparation for that?
Well, the Bible one,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I think that should be obvious. But then I used quite a few, a couple that kind of stick out the most, is N.T. Wright. He's a bishop, a scholar. He's kind of, our modern day kind of New Testament scholar, mm-hmm. Around the world globally. And he wrote a book called Surprised by Hope. And it's on this same idea on how do we live with a new mindset of not only heaven, but as kingdom people. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the big ones that stood out. And in the renewal spiritual one that I kind of talked a little bit about on Sunday. And then a little bit of different other ones. But I think those two are the two main ones that helped me to kind of focus on this idea that Paul is kind of hitting on, right, in that last little bit of that chapter where he's kind of calling us to wake up, not only spiritually, but wake up as a people, as kingdom people, what that looks like to live into the here and now as men and women who are a part of this new kingdom that Christ has brought into the world. And so Surprised by Hope by N.T. Wright, and then Richard Lovelace with the Renewal book on spirituality. So
that's really good. Yeah. You know, you talked about being awakened by Christ. And I was actually having a conversation with someone recently, and this individual was kind of frustrated. Mm. They said, you know, I'm a believer. I've been baptized, but I just can't seem to find God in my day-to-day life. Mm. And I wondered what, you know, after delivering this message, what would you say to an individual that just feels like they've fallen asleep mm-hmm. spiritually?
I would say, one, show yourself grace. Mm. I think, you know, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon more so than anything. And mm-hmm. it's the in and outs of every single day. Just picking up our cross daily and walking with that. And sometimes the cross is heavy mm-hmm. and hard to bear, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm done with it. It just means I need to take a little break. And so I would say, you know, maybe check your routine, number one, mm-hmm. and say, have you been doing the same routine over and over and over that's become mundane and honestly boring, mm-hmm. right? And so one of the things that I love, John Mark Comer, is a pastor out in Portland, wrote a book, couple books, but one of the things that he's put together is called Practicing the Way of Jesus. Mm. And it's these simple yet very profound spiritual practices that we can actually start to implement into our daily lives. And the very first thing I would say is we all need a rule of life. And what I mean by that is we all need this kind of new way of thinking of my spirituality intermixed with my physical, mm-hmm. my physicality, right? So it's how do I implement the small little things that Christ is calling me to in my normal daily routine, right? And so this rule of life is simple to access. We'll probably put it on the show notes. Mm-hmm. You can go on there, answer a couple questions, and it'll literally print you out kind of this calendar of what to do daily, weekly, monthly, and then, you know, beyond. And you don't have to look at it every single day, make it a checklist, right. But rather just take one little thing, right? And for the next, you know, 2 weeks, I'm just going to focus on 5 minutes with Jesus, right. Whether that is in the Word, or I'm just going to take 5 minutes to be in silence. Right. We live in this fast-paced world, and technology is constantly bombarding us, the kids, the work, my own mental capacity. And if I could just take 5 minutes every day to just slow down, to just recenter and refocus. I think it's very helpful. So I'd say one is just check your routines. Maybe mm-hmm. it's time to shake up something, or maybe it's time to add something new that you've never done. That's a little stretching. It's going to stretch you out a little bit. It's a little uncomfortable. Because I think it's beautiful to see how God works in the uncomfortable and the unknown. Right. And we encounter this new grace, this new kind of fixation on Jesus again. Right. And so, you know, if you're listening, I would say, hey, it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay to be there. We've all been there. But I would encourage you to say, hey, all right, let me examine my life. One of the points I said on Sunday, which I think is vitally important, is like, all right, let me examine my routine, and do I need to shake it up a little bit?
Right.
And then just add one thing. That's the problem a lot of us run into, is we want to add it all.
Right.
And we're like, oh, and then you get bombarded, and then you're like, I can't do this.
That can feel overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And I've found that even small little simple shifts, like yep. changing the place where I spend time
Correct.
With God,
Correct.
Sometimes makes a difference yeah. In just how I'm feeling and how I'm listening
yeah.
to Him.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, a lot of times we say, well, the morning is when I'm going to do it. But some of us aren't morning people.
Mm-hmm.
And our brains are not awake,
yeah.
right? Like, and that's okay. So it's like, all right, where in my day can I fit a 5-minute time with Christ where my brain is awake, mm-hmm. I am physically ready to dive into this,
mm-hmm.
And I have the time. And right. so I would say, hey, look at your routine and just fit that little nugget in there.
You know, there was a time when I had 3 kids under the age of 5.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, as you can imagine, mm-hmm. I was a busy mom
yep.
and I was working too. And my quiet time became in the car
mm-hmm.
while I was driving.
That's
from
good.
From dropping off at daycare to coming to work.
Yeah.
And, you know, it wasn't perfect, but it was what I needed in that time,
yeah.
you
yeah.
know, so just understand seasons change.
Correct.
So,
correct.
You know, I really liked that during your message, you were transparent and you talked about doubts.
Mm.
You said that even, you know, as a pastor, you have doubts
mm.
and I can confirm that I too mm. have had doubts, in my walk with Christ. But what would you say to a person that's maybe struggling with that is worried about the doubts that they have in their relationship with God?
Yeah. One, you're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Many people in the faith have doubts. The apostles had doubts on whether Jesus was who he says he was.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't really get it till literally after the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of his disciples is considered the doubting Thomas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like this idea that he wasn't who he said he was, and he wasn't really alive. And so here you have one of the guys that Jesus, you know, picked out himself and said, hey, you're going to follow me.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there. But what I think is so beautiful is that he didn't leave, right? He could have had all these doubts and walked away and said,
right.
I'm done. But rather he leaned into his community. And I'd say one of the big things is if you're having those doubts, find some men and women in your life who you say or consider kind of big role models of your faith, heroes of your faith,
mm-hmm.
that you can actually sit across the table, have a cup of coffee or tea or whatever your favorite beverage is, and talk and express those doubts.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately, the hope is that person will be able to help you walk alongside you and show you the truths of the gospel
right.
and show you the beauty that even in those moments, right, the hardest moments of our lives with doubts and insecurities that everyone in Scripture even had,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think even, you know, I think we look at Jesus and we romanticize him even more so than what, you know, I think we should. And at times, and I'm not saying that he's not who he is, no, but there's this beautiful passage in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus says, Father, if there's any other way, right? Like in that moment, he is stressing, like, I don't want to go with this, right? That's not necessarily a doubt, but it's an insecurity. It's an anxious moment for him. And so we see Jesus in his most vulnerable moment, but yet he says something else. He says, but if not, let your will be done.
Right.
And so that's him leaning into the Father saying, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm going to trust you.
Yeah.
And so I think in the beauty of our doubts and insecurities and anxious moments, it's lean into that. Don't run away.
Right.
Lean into it and then bring somebody along with you
right.
that'll walk alongside you and just help you to see the beauty of the gospel and how that gospel is going to take you from those doubts and show you more of him.
Right.
So that you can trust in him and keep walking.
Right. So lean into that doubt,
mm-hmm.
lean into God, but really lean into your community.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Can be a
Correct.
Game changer.
Yep. Yeah.
Another really interesting part of your message was when you talked about the yet, but not yet phase. And I thought that was kind of a cool way to say it, but you described it as kind of like an in-between stage. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah. This was something that I wrestled with early on in my faith when I was in school. And one of my professors always used to say, we are in the in-between times. And that was so confusing. I was mm-hmm. like, what in the world does that mean? But as he would ultimately describe it, and N.T. Wright talks a lot about this as well, it's just this stage of life that Christ has already come and he's done the work and he died on the cross. He was resurrected and then he ascended into heaven and then he sent and commissioned his disciples and followers to continue this mission. And so then we have that aspect, but we're so far beyond that already. But yet then there's the other aspect that we're in this weird tension point where it's Christ has already come, but he also hasn't returned yet. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we find ourselves in that middle stage, in that middle phase of this bigger picture where Christ came, but he yet hasn't returned. And so that in-between time is just focusing on constantly thinking in our minds, like, yes, Christ is returning to make all things whole again. Mm-hmm. He's coming back to redeem all of life, all of creation, all of humanity, but we're not there yet. And so my call now is to live as the apostles and the disciples did, mm-hmm. which is to not just sit back and enjoy the freedom that I now have in Christ Jesus, but actually to kind of go on the offensive, which is like, hey, I have to go into the dark world and shine my light. I can't hide it. I have to go in and tell other people who are bound in their sin, bound in their anxieties and fears about the beauty of Jesus and about the cross and the resurrection and what that has done for me and ultimately what it can do for them. Right. And I think that's where we are in our stage of life. And many of us are afraid of that because we're like, how do I do this? Mm-hmm. Simple. Tell them your life story.
Yeah.
And how the gospel has intersected into your life and how it has transformed your heart. Like that's the greatest, ultimately greatest tool we have, which is my story is unique mm-hmm. to anyone else's. Your story is unique and right. the listener's stories are very unique. But the whole thing at the center is that Christ has intervened into my life and done something
right.
different.
Right.
So just start there.
Yeah. God's still writing a story through
Correct.
Us.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
So I think I really loved that you delivered this message, Jonathan. And I think it was just a really great reminder that we can't become complacent yeah. in our walk with Christ. And we can't just go through the motions. Because if we do that, we really miss out on the best mm-hmm. part. You yeah. know, we miss out on the part where Jesus is using us. Mm-hmm. He's using us to transform our communities, mm-hmm. to transform other people. And through that, we are transformed. Correct. And so I just think that that's a really, really great reminder for all of us, no matter where you are in your Absolutely. Faith, if you're brand new Correct. Or if you've been a Christian for years and yeah. years. So I think that's great. Thanks, yep. Jonathan.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all the time that we have today for Table Talk. We will see you next time. Thanks for joining us for Table Talk. You can keep up with what's happening at Northridge on your mobile device through our Northridge Christian app. If you want to continue to dive deeper with us in this content, please like, subscribe, and share this show.